Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, March Basic Pattern Review, Pasadena Progress, Being Kind to Wrists, and Darning. Hello, this is episode 51. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Let's kick off with the review of March Basic. March Basic is a woman's Aran weight cardigan. It doesn't have a description of itself on the pattern beyond describing itself as easy and using terms like basic and unembellished. I would describe it as a simple cardigan designed to keep you warm without attracting attention to itself. I was attracted, having just said it doesn't attract attention to itself, I was attracted to it because of the shaping, but in my version the shaping hasn't really come out. The pattern is from Barocco and it's a free download which I found through Ravelry. You can also, I'm sure you just Google and it will come up. The Barocco listing will come up. I cast on with 4mm KnitPro Nova Cubics, which are now definitely my favourite type of needle, the Nova Cubics. The recommended yarn is Barocco Ultra Alpaca, but I use the Cream Aran from Aldi. I bought lakes of it last year and I think I've gone into the last skein. They're 400 gram skeins, but I have quite a lot of it left. Certainly enough for, you know, various kind of mufflementy things. I chose this colour partly because I do need a cream cardigan, but also because I'm really feeling the challenge to knit my way through the whole lot of it now. I literally bought, 400 gram skeins, and I've used a lot of it, and it's just, I sort of almost want to see the back of it now. This design doesn't call for many techniques or a lot of experience, but I would definitely disagree with its own description of itself as easy, given the faffing around with the front band. If you're interested in hearing about that, listen to last week's episode, my milestone episode 50. There's also, I'll describe it a little bit further on, but there's another aspect which I think definitely means you could not describe it as easy. I think 90% of it's easy, but the 10% of it that's difficult would be enough for me to say that it's one that you do need a bit of experience in order to be able to handle what it calls for. The cardigan is designed in extra small up to 2XL, and I made it in large to fit around my bust because I fell just between the two stools on the bust size, and I, you know, decided to err on the side of caution and make it too big, and quite simply I think that's why the shaping is lost on me. The cardigan is knitted flat. It's a very familiar cardigan start off. You do an inch or so in rib, which I would suggest is not enough because it rolls up a little bit at the front. Given the general proportions of the cardigan, I don't know what the equation is or the algorithm or whatever, but there must be a formula, that's a better word. I had all of this when I was working out the cowl that I made in March, and there must be a formula that says if your piece of stocking stitch is, so many stitches wide, you need so many rows deep of ribbing in order to stop the ribbing flipping up. So I would suggest that this cardigan would have been better off with a sufficient depth of rib. When I was knitting that bit, I thought, it doesn't seem very much, but I trust patterns, which I think this naivety is perhaps now beginning to be chipped away at. And I thought, well, if it says it only needs an inch of rib, that's fine, and away we go. So once you've knitted your inch of rib, you carry on knitting up the back in stocking stitch with some shaping as you progress. It's a fast knit, there's not much to hold you up beyond keeping track of your increase rounds. After my experiences with the Of the Sea sweater that I made for my husband fairly recently, where I completely lost track of where I was at with my decrease rounds in the raglan, which really is a crime, you really should pay attention to that sort of thing. I've become sort of overnight, really, once I had to unpick stuff and sort all that out with Off the Sea, I have become an instant convert, and I kept very good track of where I was. So you sail up the back. As you get up to the top of the neck shaping, there's a potential banana skin around the casting off, but as long as you pay attention to what you're doing, it's fine. I made a wrap top earlier this year called Ivy, where you have to knit the front in two parts, but I've never, strictly speaking, knitted left and right cardigan fronts before. That the wrap top doesn't have buttonholes, and it didn't have a separate neckband, so this was uncharted territory for me. Once the armhole shaping began, I needed to write out line by line what I was doing, because the armhole edge and the neck edge were decreasing at different rates, so I really had to make sure that I was clear about what I was doing. The armhole included the instruction to knit until it measured 8 inches. So normally, and this is the case with Pasadena that I'm knitting just now, you finish the shaping, and if you know that you then have to carry on until something measures, for instance, 8 inches, you normally expect, at the very least, you're going to have maybe 4 rows to get you to there. There's normally just that little bit more knitting to get you to that. But I found that by the time I'd finished the shaping, I was beyond 9 inches, when the whole thing was meant to be maximum 8 inches. But it happened on both sides, so at least it was consistent. And when I came to set in the sleeves, I didn't have any issues at all, so I have no idea what that was all about. After you've knit the left side, which is all laid out for you, the instructions for the right side basically boiled down to, and used the phrase, reverse all shaping. Now that is definitely not what you want to read if you are a novice knitter and you've chosen an easy pattern. Reverse all shaping can be a bastard depending on what you're knitting, and I managed to do it partly because I had already written out all the rows that I had to do for the combined neck shaping and armhole shaping. And I mean, it turned out to be a real blessing that I'd done that, because I was just able effectively to reverse that. I still had to think about it a bit, but as a novice, I would have cried, I think, if I had seen that. So no pattern that just says reversal shaping on something like that can describe itself as easy. And it, I mean, even as an experienced knitter, it's not always a very comfortable experience, but it worked out okay on this. The decrease on one side of the front pieces was one I hadn't met before, KSP, which is knit, slip the knit stitch back onto the left needle, and then pass the stitch below over the top. Apparently it's rarely used. This is what I discovered from trying to research it, and I can believe that, because in, what is it now? Is it now 5 years of pretty intense knitting, I've never come across it before. It wasn't a problem to do, but I found a video to show me what to do. It was by a woman called Arenda Holiday, and she was very concerned while showing you what to do that you moved the stitch, certainly the one that you slipped over the top, that you moved it as little as possible, and just with the tip of the knitting needle. So she was very concerned about stretching your stitches so that you didn't end up with, you know, slack knitting. I mean, for my standards, really, that's not a terribly hot consideration, but I don't know why they called for that on this rather than another type of decrease, but it wasn't a problem. It was quite good to come across something new. For this project, I used up some long lengths of yarn that were left over from other skeins, because I was reluctant to start a new 400 gram skein when I had these odds and ends to use up. I don't know, I mean, probably you don't do the same, but for instance, if I have £2 or £3 worth of change in my purse and a £10 note, I always try not to break the £10 note till the last minute, because I don't know what it is, but once you've broken it, the money just goes like that. So, and I'm the same with skeins. I go without being silly about it, I will always try to use up lengthy pieces before starting a new one, because it just seems ridiculous. So I'm not going to use it then, when am I going to use it, you know, if I've got all this stuff left to use up. So some of this that I was using had been unravelled from a Bernat poncho that I gave up on a couple of years ago. I keep meaning to go back, because I still like it. I see the picture and I think, oh, it's really nice, and I keep meaning to go back and start again. I did the right side, and then as I went along the wrong side, things weren't appearing where they should, and I tried sorting it out. In the end, I needed the needles that it was on, and I've just never gone back to it. I don't know, probably never will, actually. It will always be one of those projects that got away. But as I knitted with this same yarn, some of which was just left over, some of which had been unravelled, I could feel that the reused yarn was less bulky and full and less springy. Now, bear in mind, I am talking about cheap yarn here, but as the cardigan was just for me, I kept going because I wanted to use up the yarn, but it would definitely put me off using unravelled yarn another time, and it's the first time I've really noticed the difference. I know that yarn that's been unravelled can be washed and rejuvenated, but this is, quite honestly, being such cheap acrylic yarn, I don't know that it would have improved much, and I'm not sure it really would have been worth it. Anyway, using the different lengths, I mean, when I say I used up several, to do the back, I think I used up two long pieces and then had got into the proper skein by the time I was at the top of the back. So we're talking about pieces that were metres and metres long, but it meant I had to join in new yarn several times, and because it was the said cheap acrylic, I couldn't spit splice it. So I looked up how to join yarn on the purl side, because I totally misjudged how much yarn I had and whether I was going to get to the end of my row. And I found a video by Martha Lyons, who I think on YouTube is the account name Knit Yourself Happy. And the advice essentially tells you to knit the new yarn along with the old yarn for 3 or so stitches and then drop the old one. And I must confess, I'd been expecting something a little more involved, a little bit like something you might come across with Fair Isle. But it did the job, and I was less concerned as this was on the back. You know, if this had been up on one of the yoke areas or down on it towards a cuff, I would have been a lot more concerned about how it was going to look. But on the back somewhere, and I've got long hair, and I thought, oh, sod it, you know, I'd be fine. But as I say, I wouldn't have compromised like that for a more visible part of the cardigan. So as I've mentioned, I talked last week in episode 50 about the trouble I had with the front band. But just for completeness here, I won't go over it all. You can go back to that episode if you want the full skinny. But just for completeness, I will briefly describe what happens with it. The neck band is knit in two halves, and it's attached to the front of the cardigan separately. So you attach one half and then you attach the other half, and they seam. You then seam them where they meet at the back of your neck. The recommended seaming method is slip stitch. So the recommended method for seaming it all up the front of the sides is slip stitch, which is a crochet method. But I did not get on very well with that, which, if you've listened to last week's episode, you'll know is a whopping understatement. So I used mattress stitch instead and had a lovely smooth result. And it's apart from the reversal shaping, I think it's this element in particular that would stop me giving this pattern a simple easy rating. If you were an inexperienced knitter who didn't have a tried and tested seaming technique to go to instead, this part of the pattern could be a blocker. I don't know about you, but you've probably been knitting for longer than me, but if you can remember back to when you were an inexperienced knitter and you were almost consciously taking on more than you could chew, in that you were deliberately thinking, I'm going to do a more difficult pattern, I'm going to push my comfort zone now because I've made 14 beanies and 3 cowls and I need to go on to something a wee bit more complicated, things like this can really wreck your confidence. Because the first time I did the neck band, it was terrible. I had to unpick it and redo it. And if I had never had to do anything along those lines before as an inexperienced knitter, I would have really thought, oh no, I can't do this, it's too difficult, and I was really silly, I should have known. But that's probably just me. But so I think that's I don't rate the method hugely, and I definitely think they got their rating wrong based on that alone. So once this blessed neck band was attached, I seamed the two ends at the back of the neck with a 3-needle bind off. They recommend, well, they just say graft it, which I took to mean Kitchener, and that's what I did the first time. But then after I'd had to undo it all, I just thought, you know, really, 3-needle bind off is fine. Kitchener just seemed a bit unnecessary. So once I'd done that, I just had to add the buttons and I was away. Now, I have sewn on squillions of buttons over the years onto shirts and that sort of thing, but I have never before attached one to knitting, and I thought I'd better just look it up in case there was anything I needed to know. So I used a very pink video which essentially advised using the same yarn to attach the buttons as you've used to knit the garment, splitting it out if necessary, which I had to do because that Aran yarn was not going through the needle that I had. The button spacing was a bit harder than I'd expected. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not brilliant with these things, but in the end, I just gave up trying to be clever and I just plonked a button more or less to correspond to the buttonholes. Why they don't just tell you to do that in the first place rather than saying space the buttons, blur pinches apart, it just kind of escapes me. So I have a shock confession, which isn't really a shock confession if you've ever listened to anything about me and garments. I haven't blocked the cardigan, but I have worn it in the house. Last week was a bit of a nightmare because both of my children had a sickness bug. This was going on while I was finishing the cardigan, and having unpicked the blooming neckband and all the rest of it, I just could not be asked to block it on top of all that getting up in the night, swilling out buckets and mountains of grotty washing. But not blocking is not the worst of it. I didn't knit a gauge swatch, which you'll also been able to predict if you've listened much before. I'm always in two minds about gauge swatches. I do definitely see the wisdom of checking the gauge on size or fit critical items. But if you're using the right size needles and the right weight of yarn, it should just work, shouldn't it? And I know that's too simplistic, especially if you're not using the recommended yarn, which is probably what this comes down to. But the other problem I have is that, as in head problem, if getting the right gauge means going up a needle size, I know I'm not going to like the finished item, as I prefer a closer knit than a more open one. Having said all of that, out of curiosity, I've checked the gauge on Pasadena, and I have the right gauge vertically, but I have only 16 stitches to 4 inches, not 18 stitches to 4 inches, which is what it should be, which means my stitches are slightly bigger than ideal, and it will be another wider cardigan. But these are meant to be chunky winter cardigans, so it's not the end of the world. So this means that the finished garment is blockier than I would have liked, but then it is a large, and I'm a medium to large. I went by the bust measurement when choosing which side to knit, and I fell perfectly between medium and large. I am, for the purposes of knitting, I'm a 41-inch bust. The medium was 39, the large was 43. Now, I think 4 inches between sizes is quite a lot, so I went for larger rather than smaller. And I think this is something I'm going to pay more attention to in future. It's not so bad on Pasadena. It's only a 42-inch bust. As I say, I'm a 41, so that should improve matters a bit. But by the time I finish Pasadena, I will have knitted 2 heavy Aran weight cardigans, literally back to back, if you see what I mean. That's a bit of a curious mental picture. And I think I will have learnt quite a lot, which I can then take forward after this. I've got one or two wee projects I want to do, but I'm planning a couple of DK-type cardigans, so I will be taking what I've learnt into doing those, because they will be a little bit more fit critical. But my gauge is going to be slightly out on Pasadena, but we'll see what I'm doing. It's slightly experimental, but ultimately these cardigans are going to be worn by me around the house, and they're primarily to keep me warm rather than look fantastic. I mean, I'd love to look fantastic all the time, wouldn't we all? But you know, if my cardigan fit isn't quite what I want it to be, it's not going to stop me wearing it really when it comes to it. But you know, I'll definitely learn lessons and take it with me into the next garments. But to sum up, I'm happy to wear March Basic despite the wider shape. I suppose I could always seam a couple of rows in down the sides if I really wanted to make a difference, but I doubt I'll bother. Having worn it a couple of days around the house and in the evenings when I first made it, last few days have been much milder, so I haven't worn it. So we'll sort of see what I think when you come to needing this sort of thing a little bit more often. Would I recommend this pattern? It depends what you want, doesn't it always? The pattern photo looks better than my version, which is largely because the fitting works, the shaping. But if the measurements suit you and your gauge is right, it would make a good simple cardigan for day-to-day keeping warm. It knitted up really fast, even allowing for having to unpick the neckband. If you're looking for a beautiful and elegant cardigan, though, keep looking, because this isn't it. So, Pasadena Progress, I love that, it sounds like a song by the Eagles. It's another one that's coming on really well. This is just what happens when you use Aran yarn, I think. It's got a curious design feature of you have a little band of seed stitch, and by the use of a cable needle, you sort of travel this along, so it does a diagonal, which is kind of odd. And there was something that puzzled me. I'd done everything I was meant to do, and I had come to the end of the stitches available to me for this particular little twiddly element, but it seemed to think I should still have a pair of stitches left. I thought, I was curious, because I was pretty sure I'd not gone wrong. I've actually, you know, so far I've been very pleased at how my progress has been very smooth with Pasadena, which probably means I'm about to go absolute face plant into some huge problem I can't solve, but so far, you know, it's gone quite well. But I thought I would go and have a look at the comments about this on Ravelry. If you're weighing up whether to do a pattern, and if you're interested to hear what other people have said, then if you look on the pattern page on Ravelry, and up the top there are a load of tabs, including a comments tab. That can be quite revealing. And somebody said, and I think to actually quote her, I should probably actually go and have a look at who it was who said that. Back soon. Does anyone else hit the join now button on Ravelry instead of log in? I do that so often. Really annoying. Anyway, a user with the wonderful name of Spongy says, and I quote, "The pattern has some goofs." And she's right. It's a cat, actually, so it could be an it. The pattern at one point calls for you to repeat a certain thing 4 times. And she says here, to get it to work, you need to do 5 repeats. And as I go through the pattern, I can see how that works. However, this is purely a design element. It doesn't affect the actual structure of the cardigan. And on the basis that I haven't looked on for the instructions for the other front side yet, but on the basis that they simply make the same mistake for the other side, I think I'm going to have to make sure I do the same now, even if they've got it right for the other side. It'll be the same design, and really nobody is going to look at me in the supermarket and think, I'm sure that little band of seed stitch should start slightly further over to the left or whatever it is, you know, because looking at the piece as it's coming out, it's fine. It doesn't make any difference to me whether that band of seed stitch is, you know, 2 stitches to the left or 2 stitches to the right. It doesn't suddenly jump out of sort of what looks like a nice flowing pattern, so I'm not worried about that. The person underneath, with the also great username of Knitter Nutter, says that she thinks the sleeves are too narrow on the larger sizes. And I'm really glad I've read that, because I have a particular dislike of tight sleeves. So I was very pleased with the sleeves on March Basic. I didn't particularly mention them just now because there was just nothing to say. You knit them flat, you seam them. But they're lovely length. And they're just a nice fit, you know, round the cuff. So on the basis that this woman, Knitter Nutter, thinks the sleeves are too tight on Pasadena, as far as I can, I obviously have to look at how the shaping works, but as far as I can, I'm going to go with the sleeves from March Basic, because they were, I think, one of the most successful aspects of the design. So if you're struggling with a pattern, or you're just not sure whether it's one you want to do, or whether it might contain things that you don't want to tangle with, looking at the comments and the blog posts and, what's the other one? Forum posts, when somebody might say, oh, can anyone think of a lovely cardigan? And someone might say, oh yes, you want to knit Pasadena by Barocco Design Studio. So that sort of thing. So it's worth reading. You know, most projects, we start them, they go relatively smoothly, and we, you know, chew them out, spit them out the other end. But if you're unsure, that is it's a very useful little tool, and I'm very glad I read the comments this time. Darning socks. This is something I've not had to do for a while, that I haven't knit my husband any socks this year. It's not because I don't want to, it's because the nice sock yarn that I like is a good £8 a skein, or certainly once you've chucked in postage, and it's not been a priority this year. So I'd love to, if I could get my hands on 2 or 3 skeins of sock yarn. If anyone is listening from Regia or Patterns or anywhere else and would like to send me some sock yarn to feature on the podcast, I'd be absolutely delighted. But in the meantime, some of the pairs that he's wearing, he's been wearing for 3 or 4 years. He's a big guy and he's heavy on his feet and he loves these socks. He'll wear them every single day. It's very rare that ever through the wash I see a pair of shop-bought socks, which is great. It's really nice to know they're such a success. But I noticed the other day that a very lairy lime green pair that I made him a wee while ago were starting to get thin on the heel, and obviously with darning hand knits you want to get to them before they go through, because it's much more difficult repairing a hole than it is just strengthening thinned knitting. So the problem I had, I was all set up to do a really neat method, but this yarn or these socks, they have felted a bit over the years between the pressure of being worn and all the washing and drying. One of the things I love about the Regia sock yarn that I use is that it can go through the tumble dryer, and that's a real necessity really. And one thing and another, these tiny little stitches, you know, 3.5 millimeter needles, because they'd felted, it made it really difficult to do a neat darn that relied on being able to treat certain stitches in a certain way. So I ended up doing my best with what I had as a sort of simple under and over weave, and I'm going to have to keep an eye on it, but because I don't know what I've done with the rest of that yarn, it's a pretty stunning shade of lime, and I don't remember using it for anything else. I think I'd notice, I think I'd remember, so I'm probably going to find it eventually. But I had a look, I've got a bag of 4-ply, I say scraps, I mean some of them are, you know, half skeins, but I couldn't see it in there. So I used a lovely colourful yarn I have left over from making some over knee socks for a friend a few years ago, and it's quite noticeably different colour. So that will catch my eye and I can keep an eye on how that's going. But there are some, you know, visible darning is a thing, it's a fetish on Instagram, and I would have loved to have done something a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. But I suppose what I need to do from now on is keep an eye, now that I've noticed that those ones have gone through, I'll obviously be looking more closely at all the others as they pass through my hands, and at the mere sniff of a bit of thinning of yarn, I'm going to be having another go and trying to win prizes for the beauty of my darning. Thank you very much for listening this week. Next week, I probably won't have Pasadena finished. I think that's pushing it a bit, especially as things are getting quite busy at the moment. And it's not going to be long before I'm thinking about another Halloween apple cozy to add to the slowly growing stash, one a year. I always have big plans to do about 5, but it never happens. And I'm going to treat myself to one or two small projects before I start a DK, couple of DK cardigan-y jackety things. So no doubt I'll be chatting about what I've been looking at and what I've got queued up next. Have a great knitting week and look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye. Hello, if you're still listening, I've just realised I forgot to talk about being kind to wrists, but as I've been rambling on for nearly half an hour, I think we'll save that treat for next week. Bye.